And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
They stole the semen out of my balls.
Yeah, true one.
It's a brand new
brand
gold.
Brand new gold. That happened this week, y'all.
Yep, the guy said they stole it from his bulls. Not balls, his bulls.
They stole the semen out of my bulls.
Just saying. Some things you just, you can't even make up.
He was fired up, too.
He was mad.
If I recall, he was mad at the city council, the sheriff.
Everybody.
All of them, the mayor. And he was calling us to straighten it out. And we're like, man, I don't know. And he's like, listen. And then he dropped that little nugget on us.
They stole the semen out of my balls.
And then we were pretty much done. We're like, okay, we got what we needed.
See you later. We got a gold. Have a nice day. The podcast this week brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Thousands of people are killed in drunk driving crashes every single year. So if you're going drinking this weekend, get a ride, call a cab, drive sober, or get pulled over. You don't want to end up a statistic. Nobody wants to be a statistic.
No.
Not even that guy's bulls.
I'm just thinking about just the people that call. It's just crazy, man. Just crazy.
Hi, everybody. A lot of people watching now on the live feed on Facebook. By the way, thank you to, you know, however you get the podcast, whether you watch it live on Facebook or you watch it taped on Facebook or you listen to it on your podcast app, whether it's Apple or Droid or whatever you use. It's just awesome that you watch the podcast, you listen to the podcast, and you're a part of it because we like doing it. It's one of those things to where, you know, it's like a bonus extra show. It's not a full show. Obviously, it's half an hour to 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. But we just kind of hang out and talk and do more stuff.
Yeah, and it's fun, man. It really is. You enjoy my Rural King hat?
I am. I'm liking that. America's Farm and Home Store.
Yeah, it is. I love going into co-ops and stores like that.
You enjoy my hat?
Saints hat. It's just fun, man, because you go in there and you're like, golly, you know what? I feel like a co-op. Here's what I feel. When I go into a co-op, for those who don't know, a co-op is like a farm store, farm and ranch kind of place, and you go in, they have feed, they're going to have chemicals, are going to have medicines for, you know, livestock and that kind of stuff.
That's where you get the good stuff. If you're a prepper and you want to get like antibiotics and things like that, and you don't want to go and get prescriptions, you can actually go online. You can Google it and you say veterinary replacements for things that you might need in the prepper world in the future when society falls apart or after Florence destroys the earth on September 1st.
Yeah. And so... I don't know if that is yet, but I'll get back to it. But I feel that when I go into a co-op, I feel that is the America that I like. That's the America that I feel comfortable in. And I get in there and I go, why? I remember when this was America.
What, like farming and all that kind
of
stuff?
Just the vibe. Just the whole atmosphere in a co-op. I walk in and I go, and there's...
You sigh? You walk in and literally sigh.
I feel comfortable there. And I feel like it's what America...
Used to be?
Here's the thing.
Farming and values?
I think America is still that. But I think the attention gets to the loons who aren't that. And then we go, America's changed. I don't know that America's really changed. How about that?
Did you like the way he has the little voice? Changed.
Yeah.
America might have changed.
I don't know.
It's like that guy on Turn. Did you watch Turn ever?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I think I watched the first season.
America. It's America's Washington Spies. Mm-hmm. It's about the spy ring for the Culper Ring, George Washington. It's amazing. The first season is good.
Yeah.
Second season, good. The last couple seasons, holy crud, they're amazing.
And what's it called, Turn?
It's called Turn. It was on AMC. It just ended. The season finale was like a week and a half ago. I know it's on A&E. I mean, on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay,
it's
good.
It's an AMC show.
I'll need to catch
show.
Up. I need another show.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Pick it up. It's called Turn. It's about the Revolutionary War. And I mean, seriously, I would press pause in the show just to Google stuff and go, did that really happen? Oh. And you'd be like, what? It did.
I like that.
Yeah, it was good. It's really good.
Carson and I have two more shows in Twin Peaks, and then it's over.
Then it's
I have
done.
No. How are they going to wrap all this up?
I have no.
There are so many pieces that are just dangling out. I have no idea how they're going to wrap up.
They're still bringing in new characters.
I know.
But nope. I'm just along for the ride. I don't pretend to understand it. And if you've never seen Twin Peaks, I get it. But if you've ever
I've
been around, yeah, and if you've been around people who say they're fans of Twin Peaks, they're not usually like me and Dee.
No,
they don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They're
like,
very.
What do they look like, and what do they talk
they're
like?
They're very weird people who seem to not have the best social skills.
Well, you would know because you
went out
with
one of them. Yeah, that was my bad. But they all try to read all this stuff into it, and I'm like, y'all, I'm just watching a TV show. You know, and I figured
and it's like life for them. It's like important.
Yes, 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 it is. And that's why I had to actually get off a bunch of Twin Peaks Facebook pages because I said, these people are nuts.
Yeah, you probably joined it just to get a couple of answers or things
I
you
thought,
didn't
like,
know.
Oh, I guess wrongly, I thought, oh, I watch Twin Peaks. There will be other people like me. Nope.
Just
nope.
Me.
No, it's me and Dee.
You didn't have to get on the little thing. You just had to, you know, look 8 feet across the counter here.
Yeah.
Right. That was it. Yeah. We just needed each other. That was all. Yeah. Everybody else, weird. Weirdos.
Strange.
But, yeah. Can I talk about that other show or should we wait?
What other show?
The other show.
Oh, you could talk about it now. And then that'll tie in because I mentioned Florence. I think that we got to bring up Florence.
Okay, what is Florence?
Yeah, I was going to
Florence. Oh, we'll talk about your show and then we'll talk about Florence.
Well, this one I ran across is called Unacknowledged. And it's a documentary on Netflix. And for those who don't know, this is Big D talking. If I watch a documentary, I absolutely believe whatever they say. And I
every single time.
Yeah. I stopped eating meat for 2 years because I watched Forks Over Knives. And so anyway, I'm easily swayed that way. But I watched this documentary, and it's about aliens and how that the evidence that aliens exist is so overwhelming that like even high up government officials are like, yeah, we know that. I got it. And we know there is. Not only do they know that there are, but they have been
here for a while.
Like
all that stuff, like the ancient alien stuff, where they say they've been visiting and all that kind of stuff.
Not
that
necessarily
could be
among
true.
Us. That here's what he said. He goes. It really the government's outlook on aliens changed. Their philosophy changed. After Roswell, he said, now Roswell nowadays is almost like a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but Roswell was very important because when it happened, if you don't know the story of Roswell, there's a crash. Ranchers go out there to see. There's a craft there. There's some sort of
bodies.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what this is.
Little people.
And they actually have, it is now. This group that I was watching, they pushed the FBI to release the letter that was sent to the FBI director at the time. What's his name?
J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover. And it's now the most requested document on the FBI's website because everybody wants to go read this. And what this agent sent to J. Edgar Hoover then was, we have recovered a saucer type shape craft, and there are four bodies that are approximately 3 feet in length and goes in detail
length.
About
he didn't say height. Like, I think that's interesting that he didn't say
that is weird.
Approximately 3 feet tall. He says 3 feet in length.
And you can see it's a legit document, and you can go look it up on the, I don't know how you would do that, but.
Yeah, but a lot of that stuff, you wonder if it's fake or not. You know, you get on the internet and you go, oh, okay, well, I don't know.
But if you put in a request
but it's on the
FBI's website,
it's on the FBI's official website.
Yeah.
And then the FBI comes out and they said, you know, oh no, you know, I mean, even the newspapers are carrying that we an alien landed. It was a legit thing. The guy is saying, you know, yes, it is the cop, the policeman. Yes, we, you know, this did happen. And then the next day, no, it was a weather balloon.
Right.
And they changed their whole story. He said that was when it all changed. That's when he said that's when the. And they were talking to the thing I liked about this documentary is that it interviewed people. It wasn't kooks. They were people who were like professional scientists, military people who are no longer a part of it and wanted to speak out and kind of like say, hey, we all need to know about this because it's going on. And there's a huge secret.
Do they think we're like going to be attacked or something? I mean, are they worried that we need to know about this because we need to plan? They're coming.
Their thing is the American people shouldn't know about aliens because they will panic. And there's something to that. But I think the world is the people's mind. Our minds have changed
so much. We're smarter now.
We now know. Everyone thinks there are aliens.
I don't want to say we're smarter, like in general, like we're smarter as people. But I think we're a little better educated than the average person was 70 years ago.
Right, but I wonder if also, because this wouldn't just affect us, it would affect the entire globe.
Right.
Because,
exactly.
And maybe you have people that still maybe aren't up to our...
He said that they Roswell,
maybe
he said, here's how you know that the government started taking this very serious and had to have some sort of a game plan. He said they took those bodies and they moved them. They took them to a couple of different bases. I think it actually ended up at Wright-Patterson in Ohio. And anyway, they said that right after that, several weeks after that, the CIA was formed. The United States Air Force was also formed that was separate from the Army. The Army had their own kind of division.
It used to be the Army Air Corps.
Air Corps. That's when the United States Air Force was formed and the CIA. And that's when all of the – it went all the way to the top of the list. The A-bomb was second to this top secret. It was high priority to the United States. And they went on to say that – it is – there is a – basically a – almost like a hidden group of people in the government.
The shadow government?
That are
– like basically, on the
that
X-Files?
Are controlling it. That are kind of controlling it. Even Smoking the president. Man. He goes, like, the president doesn't have access to it because the way they see it is that's a temporary job. He'll be here and then gone. Or, you know, there are people who are heads of, you know, such and such. They don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain group of people who do, and it is up to them to keep it under wraps. And it just really opened my eyes. When I watched it, I was like, you know what? This is exactly what I kind of in my heart felt was kind of the way.
Right.
But now you see people who are legit, not kooky.
Right.
Telling you like, yeah, this is the thing. People who are one guy was talking about they were flying over England, and the British asked them they're getting something on radar and to drop down and take a look at it. So they drop down and they take a look and they have a visual and they have it on radar. They do, and the controllers do, and then they're following it for a while, and then it just skyrockets up the sky out of our atmosphere and into space.
See ya.
And so he said, we land, we tail off, and they tell us, you know, okay, thank you for doing all that. And he says, we were meeting with, who's the prince? Who's the prince, Patrick?
He's the guy in Minnesota.
He's the guy who's married to the queen.
Purple Rain.
Oh, Philip?
Philip.
Yeah.
And he says, we had a reception and he was there. And he said, so, and he knew all about it, what had happened that day. And he said, it was so bizarre to have someone like Prince Philip, it's Prince Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And he's discussing aliens and how that they've known that they've been around and they know that they come in and that they've crashed and we've seen bodies. And he goes, it's weird that he's talking to us like it's like, yeah. Very common knowledge. Like, it's, they come and go and, you know, we've get this and they crash and we have, I mean, really went into it. He goes, that's when I was like, oh my, what is going on?
Do you think that's where a lot of stealth technology comes from? Is that kind of what they're alluding to in the show? Is that,
you know, he was saying that the guy who was behind, I can't remember his name, our friends who are part of the secret,
like the Illuminati?
No. The guy who came up with the SR-71. What's his name?
Kelly Johnson.
Kelly Johnson.
Yeah.
Kelly Johnson is.
God, that's how you know deep, we're nerds.
Is deep
we
into
know
it.
Kelly Johnson's.
Kelly
name.
Johnson is deep. Was deep into it. I don't even think he's alive anymore.
No.
Yeah, but he at the time was saying that we have the ability to take ET home. Meaning we have the technology now for extreme.
I've heard that before.
Fast interstellar travel, and that was back in the, that would have been in the 70s, I guess.
Wow.
That because of the re-engineering of these spacecraft, that we have the ability to do that now.
Yeah.
And he said that
like
we
reverse
are
engineering.
Reverse engineering. He said we are 50 years ahead of what you think we are, and. If we, their whole point was, why don't we come out and say, hey, it's not a them versus us thing. It's a, we are all in this together as a universe thing. He goes, what we've seen is they don't seem to be aggressive towards us, but they are aggressive towards how we are doing things, especially with nukes. He said, they have video of a, you want to hear something interesting?
Yes.
This is fascinating.
I love this because you know me. I love this stuff.
I am going home to watch this documentary.
Again, it's called Unacknowledged. He said that aliens do not want us to weaponize space with our nukes. And
I'm also thinking, that if we have nukes, that they're not worried about that capability, because if they can travel those distances, then the nukes are baby toys to them.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying what they said. I agree. But he said, isn't it interesting that we don't really have the capability of having nukes in space right now? You remember when Ronald Reagan did the whole Star Wars thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard about that?
Yeah, what, 1980 something.
Well, that actual name, it was the early 90s or whatever, but like you still hear that we have space-based
I hear that we have space-based things, but they're not nukes. I talk to guys who have helped develop some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not nukes. They are,
they're things.
They're basic, but they're not nukes. And that's a big difference. And they still get the job done. They just don't get the job overdone. Nukes would be an overkill. But he said, they talked to a guy and he said, we were testing a missile and to go into space and to do all this. And it had a warhead on it. And he said, it goes up. And he says,
don't all warheads, like whenever they do nuclear tests, like even the North Koreans, don't those actually go into space first? Like you launch it up and it gets up and out of the atmosphere.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I
then
think
it cruises.
So.
And
the North
then
Korea
down.
One I know did.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that's the standard way of doing it.
But
they're
said,
just copying us.
He goes, we watched this. He goes, I'm in, we're in the testing facility. They have all the screens and, it's a kind of a, like almost like a launch control, but a smaller version, like what you'd see when they did the moon launch. To moon, but he said it goes up and the cameras are following this rocket, and he said out of the view comes a ship. Something comes in and it shoots a something look kind of like a laser on one side, and then now
does the rocket blow up?
It's still going, and then it goes to the top, shoots something else, goes to the other side, shoots something else, goes underneath it and shoots another thing, and then darts off. And he said, we watched, and this missile starts tumbling out of and crashes.
Wow.
And he said,
wow.
The general goes, what was that? He goes, I don't know. He goes, did you guys see that? And he goes, yes, sir. And there are all kinds of these situations where you get a lot of interaction with aliens and stuff. And it's usually surrounded or nearby some of our nukes around where those are going on. But it was really fascinating, and I highly recommend that you watch it. He was just talking about all the technology that is there that is being squashed because they want us to have, you know, listen, you know how expensive it is to for manufacturing? Because you have to mine whatever the ingredient is out of the ground, if it's, you know, whatever you're gonna make. So okay, so you gotta mine it out of the earth, then it has to be processed, then it has to be processed again, and then it has to be made into whatever you're gonna make it into, and then you have to construct whatever you're building out of that, then you have to package it, and then it gets shipped, and then it gets shipped again, and now finally the consumer gets it. It's very expensive. And he said, we have the ability with Nikola Tesla, with the technology that he was coming up with, to have electricity for everyone. We had power, yeah. Limitless power. Mm-hmm. And it's all around us. It's in the air. It's here. And when he died, he said there was a race to get to his room.
His apartment? Yeah. Yep.
To take out his stuff out of his safe. Mm-hmm. And between the FBI and the there's another agency, they're fighting to get it.
And I'm sure the foreign agencies too.
And he said, we have so much technology that they're sitting on, squashing. He goes, we could have unlimited power, energy. We could get rid of famine because, I mean, he goes, we're completely talking a total change of everything of how we live on Earth. Everything would be different. Your houses would be built differently. Transportation would be differently. And he said, they
so would it
don't.
Actually cut a lot of people's jobs out? And that's what they're doing, is they're trying to think about,
of course. And he said,
monetary...
you know, right. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're protecting, you know, your fossil
industries.
Fuels and industries. Mm-hmm. Those people who are involved they're the ones who are in that. That's their business. And that's why they make all this money. And it's a small group of people who are making these decisions for billions of people on the planet. And he said it's similar to, you know, well, we shouldn't have the automobile because it would drive horse and buggies, you know, out of business.
I have to interject because this is where I realize D is speaking so passionately about this.
He's excited,
and
man.
So knowledgeably about this when, in fact, you just watched a documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
He just bought totally in, man.
He always does.
I haven't even watched it, and I'm all in.
Oh, I told you ahead of time. I'm the one who believes everything.
I know. You believe everything.
Don't let me send some of my conspiracy theory documentaries.
Seriously, you'll ruin his life.
Yeah, I'll mess you up.
I'll never leave the house.
I messed things up for my wife on the moon landing. I did. She's like, I've seen some stuff now. Opened her eyes. Just
saying. Open my eyes to it.
STS, I want to show this real quick to you.
They showed it.
What?
It's on there.
The STS 48.
It was on there. It was part.
I think that was 48. Right.
It was just a little quick little clip. They have tons of clips of this.
Oh, from NASA.
They
and
just
all that?
Roll them. They have so much
Kirk
evidence
Carson?
That
I'm
they just let it go.
Show you this real quick.
Give her the story of what this is from.
This is from the space shuttle, and I'm gonna show this here on there too, maybe too. But this is from the space shuttle. You're going to want to watch this thing right here.
Make sure it's not sideways. For
it is going to be kind of sideways, but you know what? It's space. Up is whatever way you want.
Oh, good point. So,
yeah, watch this little thing here. It's going to go. It's going to go. It's going to go to about right here, and then all of a sudden go and shoot out that way. And you're going to see this right after that. You're going to see this thing shoot at it like it's a missile or some kind of something going towards it. And this is real NASA footage. Now, watch that little thing right there. It's moving. It's kind of slow. Oh, wait. Here we go. Watch him. Here he goes. And he's going to turn. You can't turn like that in space if it's ice or anything. So, look. Did you see it? Looks like something shot at it.
Oh.
Yeah, they enhanced it towards the end. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That was always the one that just blew my mind when I was a kid because that was like the first time I'd ever seen anything that really looked like conclusive evidence that something was that. Because in space, something, if you push it in a certain direction, it's just going to keep going in that direction
until
it hits
force.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or another. Yeah, exactly. But this turns and takes like an over 90 degree turn and shoots off into space. And moments after that, you see this little thing zip by where it was. And you think, were we shooting at something? Or was somebody shooting at something?
Okay, so
how does it move like that?
You know Jeremy, my bud Jeremy.
Yeah.
I have a two of my best friends that I grew up with, Jeremy and Gerald, and Jeremy is, he's very straight-laced. Like he's a PhD in apologetics. He was, you know, which is a theological thing. He's a brilliant a writer, and he's just a sharp guy. And he came to my house one time when I was in high school, and the way our house was, I had a little, we had like a deck on the back of the house, and that's the door everyone went into. No one went in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming over to the house one day in my hometown, Cookeville, Tennessee. And I'm inside. He opens the door and he walks in, and I notice he has a weird look on his face. I go, "What's up, dude?" And he didn't say anything. And I turn around and look at him, and he's just looking at me. And he goes, I just saw a UFO. I laughed. "You did? What did you see?" He goes, "I was walking up the steps outside on your deck." He goes, "I got up to the steps, and I, you know, you kind of see something on your peripheral.
Yeah.
And you kind of," he goes, "and I looked up, and in the sky, probably 1,000 feet.
This is before we had like personal drones and things too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. This is like 1989.
Yeah. God, you're old.
1988. And he says, "About 1,000 feet in the air above the tree line is a gray ship.
A craft of some sort.
Some sort of a craft, and it's floating in the air, completely silent." And he said, "It was so low that I could see underneath it, and I could see all the like pipes or some kind of, like, it looked like the construction of it. I could see where all the little things went this way and that way, and, you know, and here's this little, you know, cable, and that goes there, and I could see all of it." And he goes, "I was just sitting there staring at it, watching it, and then it goes straight up and gone."
Wow.
And so watching this documentary yesterday, all I could do is think about that. And now I wonder, was that ours?
Oh, because they talk about the...
They talk about how the fact that we have that stuff.
Yeah.
And you just don't know.
You can't tell the difference.
You know what's interesting? You tell that story, and a friend of mine who lives in upstate New York, and when he was in high school, he had a similar thing. Over the tree line, that there was some, and he said specifically it was gray, that this object was above. And he said, he was driving home from like a night out with friends, but he'll be the first to tell you, I wasn't popular in high school. I wasn't drinking, you know, I wasn't drunk. He said, you know, we were out there playing like, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon or something on their computers.
My kind of homie.
Yeah. So he's like total legit, sober, dorky 16, 17 year old. There's nothing that would have impacted him, you know, mentally or whatever. And he said he's driving home and he's kind of out in the middle of nowhere and he's above the tree line was almost exactly what you described. But he's what, 1,000 miles north of you? If you, you know, in those kind of areas. So
did he say he could see underneath it, and did it fly off or did it?
It flew off. I know that. I don't know if he said anything about pipes, but I just remember specifically above the tree line, gray mass. And he said that there really, I think his thing was there was a little bit of light, but there really wasn't anything lit up on the whatever it was that it definitely wasn't going to something. It wasn't that, you know, maybe he saw, you know, people talk about planes and lights are reflecting off things. And he said there just wasn't enough light to make me think that it's something else or a weather balloon or whatever. So, and he'd said it was just something that was, it just kind of took him over. What am I staring at? And then same thing, it just went away, flew off. And because you think, you hear the people, there's always been the jokes about the people who claim to see aliens or they've been abducted and they're a joke. He was really reluctant to share it with people for a long time.
Jeremy wants to. He was too, you know, and that's why I'm saying the attitudes have changed over the years. Where it used to be, people are afraid of that kind of stuff.
You're
now
not the laughing stock anymore.
Yeah, no, you're not. I think more people are kind of like, yeah. I mean, when you look at how big the universe is, I mean, the scientists say that
it would be arrogant of us. It actually is arrogant.
It
of
is
us
arrogant.
To assume
absolutely.
That we're the only life out there. I'm not saying that we aren't the chosen ones. I really do. Just religiously, I think, you know what? I think we're in God's corner. But at the same time, the universe is gigantic. You look around at the weird life we have here on Earth. And you have to think to yourself, that is some alien-looking crap, you know?
When they pulled the bodies,
the alien bodies,
he said, that one of the guys was talking about it, and he said, they asked him to describe it, he said that they did not have ears, they had large eyes, a larger head, a slenderer body, kind of what you, the typical, what you've kind of in your mind think of. Said he had very, the two slits, like where nose would go, but there
like,
was no
like
nose.
Like they just had nose holes?
Almost like slits. And he said that was it. I don't know what he said about a mouth. I don't remember that part. But he said that their hands, they had four fingers. There was no thumb. Four fingers in that they had a suction type.
Yeah, but how do they hold stuff without
on their
the opposing thumb?
On their fingers. They had like suction things. And he said that when they were looking at the craft inside, there was no, you know, like an airplane has controls and there's buttons and levers and a yoke. And he said there was none of that. He goes, it wasn't until it took a while to figure out that they controlled the craft by putting their hands on a screen, a flat part of the control room, and that's how they would control it through a helmet that they wore, and that it was kind of somehow it worked that way. But he said were they nude? He said they weren't. He said they almost looked nude, but they had a really thin, they had clothes on, but it was like a real thin material that covered them.
You know, something I always thought was weird was when you'd watch sci-fi movies or TV shows that would have aliens. And it would make sense that you think someone's visiting Earth and they would be in uniforms, that they would be dressed the same way uniformly. Because if we were sending, you know, the people that we send to space are in uniforms. But whenever those movies would go to like other planets, everybody wore the same thing.
Right.
You know, I was like, really? In this entire universe, we were the only ones that came up with the idea of fashion? Like, I was always really weirded out by that. And I thought, what a bore. Or when people even pictured the future.
Yeah, they're always wearing the same thing.
With the exception of, like, the Jetsons, who at least, you know, dress differently. But otherwise, you go 100 years in the future, like, oh, everybody was going to wear the same maroon jumpsuit.
Well, the Jetsons, they wore pretty much the same thing. It was just
well, they wore it
colors.
Every day.
Yeah,
I mean, at least like Judy got a skirt, so at least good for her, you know. Yeah. But it was always weird to me because it made sense that if you found aliens here, that they would be dressed uniformly. But I would hate to think that, let's say, the barriers are broken down, and then we get to interact with them, and they're all dressed the same. I would be so disappointed.
You should watch the documentary and make your own decision. Up, obviously,
Unacknowledged.
It's called Unacknowledged, and you're going to be taken back by how legit the people are who are telling you stuff. That's what's going to blow your mind, and what they're telling you and how matter of fact they are about it. Because in their world, it's been going on for decades.
Well, I read a book back in the day, like in the 90s, called Conquerors something or other. Timothy Zahn, who wrote some of the Star Wars books. That's how I kind of got turned on to him. He wrote this thing. It was about people or Earth and these aliens meeting for the first time, and it was the first contact. And, of course, we go to war because that's what we do. But it was interesting because what was unique about it, and you're talking about the controls and everything, is the way we kept trying to communicate them was with radio waves. Yet they took that as an attack, and then it turned into something crazy. And I thought that was interesting because, again, we don't know what they're going to communicate like. We don't know how they're going to hear what we're trying to tell them.
When you go to other countries and you're warned not to do certain hand gestures.
Oh, I got in trouble in Tokyo.
Like if you do a peace sign.
I get in trouble in Tokyo because I cross my leg. I put my, you know how you put your, it's not the girl leg crossing. It's the guy where you put your foot up on your knee, basically. And in Tokyo, that's not cool. If you do that and the bottom of your shoe is facing somebody, it's like saying that, you know, you're less than me. And I didn't know that.
I didn't
either. I had to have somebody correct me. I'm like, oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just a dumb American. Right. I didn't know.
It's funny that you say that because they mention in there how that France has been, during the Sarkozy administration, they have been communicating with them in a peaceful way. And they kind of went into a little bit. But he said, you know, that's a good sign.
Well, of course it would be France under the white flag first.
Well,
But he just said, you know, that's good news that, you know, at least there's a major country who is taking this a different way than we are. You know, ours is all deny, deny, deny. It's secret. Mm-hmm. It's secret. You know, and then we use technology and we're trying to further, you know, a handful of people's agenda instead of helping the rest of the world live free from.
All I'm seeing is Roger, the alien from American Dad, in like a striped shirt and a beret with a baguette and cheese. Like now that's my idea of every alien that comes down. And they're like, oh, we're going to France. We're going to eat some cheese and drink some wine. We're done.
Maybe the Eiffel Tower is like a beacon.
Oh.
Maybe that's like their little, hey, come on in. It could be. We don't know. They could be pumping electricity through it and it's going poof, poof, and it's just telling them, come here. Now, I do want to mention this because it's very important. We are going to have a pretty big near-Earth object coming by. I mentioned Florence earlier. This is kind of crazy. It's over 2.5 miles wide, which is a planet killer. And it is going to pass, they say... it is going to pass about 18 times the distance between us and the moon. But still, the point is, this thing is almost as big as one of the little lower, you know, the like Ceres, some of the moons and stuff like that for other planets here in the solar system. It's almost that size. And it's going to pass pretty close. We're talking next week, I think. September 1st is the day it's supposed to be coming by. And it's named Florence.
Hmm.
I didn't know we started naming
rocks.
Rocks
space
in space.
Rocks.
I would think we'd run out of names quickly on that one. But anyway, this is the biggest one to approach Earth ever in the history of since we started tracking these outer space objects. And that's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's good that we can be able to get something so close that they can, you know, study it. I mean, it's 18
it's big
times.
Enough, it's big enough to where if you have a little backyard telescope,
you can
see it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's that big.
It's pretty big. Saying 18 times the average distance between the Earth and the moon. So it's out there, but in space terms, it's pretty close.
And are we really getting the right math?
Oh, you're exactly right.
I mean, come on.
Exactly
we just
right.
had a conversation about unacknowledged and whether or not we have contact with aliens. Are we really going
to
right
But let's be
math?
Fair. They had the eclipse down to the minute.
Well, yeah.
So I'm trusting science on this one.
I used to watch, I'm going to pull this up real quick because I used to follow this this thing on Twitter called Asteroid Watch. And I typed asteroid, but I did it with two S's.
That's a whole different genre.
Yeah, don't go to that website.
Don't do that.
Too late.
Anyway, I used to watch Asteroid Watch, and they were great because they would tell you, tomorrow between this time and this time, we're going to be past. It's going to be a close one. This one's going to do this. And they used to tell you all the stuff. It was run by NASA's JPL, and now all of a sudden, they don't do that anymore. They do. But it's only on ones that they know for sure aren't going to come that close to us. Like they talk about Florence on there and some of the other things out there. But they used to be every day they would tell you what was going on. Like here's one. October 12th, a small asteroid is going to pass no closer than 4,200 miles. 4,200 miles. But they don't say the size here on there. But anyway, 4,200 miles, that can't be right.
That's close.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like inside the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's going to pass no closer. This is one we need to watch. No closer than 4,200 miles from Earth.
What's our atmosphere?
Much more likely. Much more likely further away, but
But
maybe.
It could.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It could.
So here we go. You're just talking about how they have the perfect science on the eclipse down to the minute. Yet here they are saying it could go anywhere between 4,200 miles and 170,000 miles to us.
Yeah, that's a big.
It's not too huge. It's only about, again, here's another one. We think it's 30 feet across, or it could be 100 feet. We don't really know.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're the one under it, it doesn't matter to you that it's small. You still get smooshed.
Yeah.
I don't think your atmosphere calculations is correct.
Dude, 4,200 feet?
Oh, feet. I thought you said miles.
I mean, miles. I'm sorry,
you
miles.
Said miles.
I'm sorry. I kept thinking feet in my head. I know I was
That's
reading
not
miles.
Right. 4,200 miles is way bigger than Earth's atmosphere.
4,200 miles. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But still, it's how far
I'm
is
looking
the moon?
The Earth's atmosphere is about 300 miles thick.
Yeah.
Okay.
But most of the atmosphere is about 80% is within
But
10
I'm thinking
miles
like 4,200 miles, like that. What's that, like Australia or something away from us?
I don't know.
Because what, like North America's like 3,000? Miles across, is that right?
Yeah, so that's not very
far. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just doesn't seem very.
Now, it's
still
not
a little close for comfort.
Yeah, it's not 42,000, it's 4,200 mm-hmm. miles. So that's not that far. NASA apparently is going to maybe do a test on some of the stuff I'm reading about its asteroid defense system that they may have a good chance to try it out. I didn't know we had an asteroid defense system.
Somebody got Bruce
we
Willis
got,
on
we
backup.
We got it from the aliens.
Apparently, we got it from somebody.
Somebody.
Anyway, that's crazy. So Florence is going to be October 1st. The other one, the 4,200-mile one, is October 12th.
Do people think that we're crazy? I mean,
I think so.
Seriously, on the comments and stuff? No.
Most people have...
No, nobody's still listening.
What?
God, what is somebody's up with Patrick? Listening. He's so, like,
negative.
I think he's still mad.
I thought it was extremely compelling.
Today, all he wanted to do from when we walked in the door was, let's talk about this Taylor Swift song. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. I'm like,
first
I don't want to talk.
Shut up, Bubba. I'm not going to let you mischaracterize this anymore because I've been letting you do it all morning.
Did you say, let's talk about the Taylor Swift song?
I did say that, but you make it sound like I'm some kind of crazy Taylor Swift fan. I said that is the one thing everyone is talking about today.
And I said, and you know,
we
they don't
talked about it.
And I said, yeah, but it's not country, so nobody cares on our side. They're going to get
People
that.
People still care. If Carson? Do you care?
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes. People care.
Okay, well,
care
anyway.
About Tay-Tay.
So he was like, we got to talk about it. We might even have to play it.
Oh, I never said that.
What?
Never said we should play it. No.
Okay.
Again, so, anyway. I love how you changed the whole thing to suit your characterization of it.
Patrick and I were in agreement that we should talk about it.
Yes. It was the biggest thing that happened since we left yesterday.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift put a new song out.
Anyway,
no, it's not. The biggest thing is that we have aliens who are visiting Earth every day.
Yes.
That's way bigger than Taylor Swift's song.
Even bigger is the fact that France is the one who's negotiating this whole thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little problematic.
By the way, I really don't think it's a good idea that France be in charge of any kind of negotiations.
Too late.
We've been talking about that.
Too late. Wow. Yes, people do think we're crazy. No,
okay.
On Facebook, I'm watching all the comments. Nobody, not a single one, has said you guys are crazy. Not one. Everybody's like, I knew it. Hey, you know, talking about mainly it's which one's Big D and which one's Bubba, and why don't you show Carson more? So we get that.
It's
one a
just
lot.
Not that interesting.
Okay,
but hi.
That's Big D. Yeah. Big D's the big one. Yeah. If you look at the pictures, he's the tall one. Think big, Big D. And then I'm the short one, and that's how it works.
Anyway, well,
I have some documentaries I want you to watch on the U.S. monetary policy and some other things like that. Because you do soak it up, and
I know
totally.
I do. I buy in.
I'm in. I think we could turn this thing around.
Oh,
we
yeah.
could just get you to watch the right documentaries.
Guys, I mean, hang on. I have a guy who wants to share something. Go ahead, sir.
They stole the semen out of my balls.
See, that's what happened. That was one of the signs of the aliens visiting, is cattle mutilation, and that. Thank you, sir, for calling.
He said bye.
So anyway, something to think about. You should definitely go and watch it on Netflix. It's called Unacknowledged, and this has been basically a podcast about aliens.
But... And the space shuttle video or space station video, whatever it was, I forget where it came from. It was STS-48. It was a shuttle thing. STS-48, the video, if you want to look for it, where you can see the little thing go like this and then the shooting, and it's crazy.
Remember how NASA tried to explain that one?
Yeah, it was ice.
That's right.
And they're like, ice. And then they were like, well, this thing is thousands of miles away, and you're saying it's ice, and it just turned and took off? The second thing, the shooting thing, could be ice, because it's just something zipping by. You don't know how close or how far.
But when it changes directions and just heads off in the other direction out of nowhere?
It stops in midair, mind you.
If you watch,
and takes a right turn. It's like Seinfeld trying to explain the magic loogie.
If you watch the long form video, there's all kinds of other little things on the periphery as well, just going on. Huh. It's pretty crazy. STS-48, watch that.
You just Google STS-48 and there's
the truth tons is out of there.
It's all out there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Truth is out there.
I saw the Gillian Anderson thing.
Dude, they're filming the next episodes of The X-Files.
Oh,
and David Duchovny's dog was all curled up with Gillian, and that made my heart happy. I love The X-Files so much. Ugh. Love it.
Big D looks lost. Like, you don't care.
No, you're
that's fiction.
Oh, you're the one who turned me on to the X-Files. Back in the day, I remember when it first came out, you're like, Bubba, are you watching this X-Files
show?
Oh,
yeah, Bubba's there.
It was on Fox back in the day.
Friday nights.
Yeah.
I would have to record it because I think I would be at, like, football games or something. And that was my big Friday night activity. Like, oh, okay, I got to go cheer at this game. And then I'm coming home to watch X-Files because I was the biggest geek. Everybody's out partying. I'm like, I'm going to go watch X-Files. Bye, y'all.
Well, do we know when the new episodes are coming out, or they're just...
I don't know if they're going to do January again. That's what I'm wondering, if they've got that timeline, but who knows?
All right.
Just as long as they come, I'm excited.
Thanks again to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration for sponsoring the show, the podcast here. And remember, thousands of people, thousands, that's a whole bunch of people. Odds are, matter of fact, you know someone who's been killed or killed someone while drunk driving. The crashes happen so often. If you've been drinking, or if you're going to go drinking this weekend, or whatever you're going to be doing, get a ride, call a cab, drive sober, or get pulled over. I mean, be smart. You're out there, and this guy's out there.
They stole the semen out of my balls.
Yep.
So be careful, okay?
Okay.
And thanks for listening to the podcast.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the podcast.